morning, Commissioners. For the record, Craig Burley, Fish Management Division Manager. And I'll let the folks with me introduce themselves.
Annette Hoffman, Region 4 Fish Program Manager.
Good morning. Steve Teasfeld, Region 6 Fish Program Manager.
Good morning. Chris Donnelly, Region 1 Fish Program Manager.
Again, thank you. This is the agenda item where we'll be looking for commission action. What we'd like to do today is talk a bit about the process that we've used starting back in March of this year, orient you with the materials you have in your notebook. Then we'll walk through the recommendations that we have on these sport rules, and we'll do that in a way that I think will aid the process. We've grouped the regulations in terms of those that we'll be recommending that you adopt as originally presented back in September. Then we have a grouping that we're recommending you adopt as modified. We'll talk about those modifications. And then there's a few proposals that we'll be recommending that you do not adopt. As we go through those recommendations, we'll provide opportunities for the commission to ask questions as we go through those groupings on each of those proposals. And at the end of that section, we'll ask that the commission make a main motion. After the main motion, then we'll again move through those groupings of rules for any amendments that the commission may have to the rule package with a final adoption of the main motion. So, as I mentioned briefly, we started this process in March of this year. We solicited proposals from the public, and we received over 300 of those proposals. Many proposals were for the same bodies of water. We grouped those proposals and recommended that 50 proposals come forward for further consideration. The remainder, we recommended that they not be considered further. That package went out for public comment in the August through November time period. We also, at that time, had regional meetings around the Puget Sound and coast, and we received about 3,000 comments total online. So then in September, we briefed you of the proposals that we had received. November, you heard from the public. Public comment was taken, and we're here in December for commission action. And the regulations that are adopted today would then take effect via permanent rule in July of this upcoming year. So in your notebooks, you have the summary sheet. You have on the second page of that summary sheet is the draft motion language. We'll also have that up on the screen when we get to that point. You have a summary document that has the rule proposals in it with a brief description. You also have the regulation language referred to as the CR-102. These are the recommended changes to implement the rules that we're describing. And then also you have a table that has grouped all of the proposals in those three groupings I mentioned that you can use to follow along with and use as reference when we get to the amendment process. And then we do have one proposed change to the WAC language that's in your notebook, and that's provided as a separate sheet, and we'll refer to that when we get to that portion of the briefing. And so, as we have done in the last two briefings, we'll move through these And Chris Donnelly will present those proposals that are cross-regional proposals. Annette Hoffman and Steve Teasfield will then cover those proposals for the Puget Sound and Coast, with Chris presenting the final rule regarding the warm water regulation proposal in the Columbia, Lower Columbia River. So with that, I turn it over to Chris.
Thank you, Craig. I'll just dive into cross-regional proposals, Group A being those that are adopted as we have proposed them to you in the past. Number three, remove internal combustion motors, prohibition on small streams. This is, again, as we have discussed, trying to clean up those areas where the streams are really impractical to run a combustion motor and just eliminate those from the pamphlet. It's a language-saving, space-saving exercise. Number five, remove crappie harvest restrictions. These are waters where in the past we had applied a regulation to try to grow larger crappie and restrict harvest to do that. In the end, biologically, the constraints on those populations didn't allow for for growth of larger fish. So we want to remove those rules to take advantage of fish at smaller sizes to increase recreational opportunity. Number six, remove daily limit on brook trout in western Washington. This is an exercise in trying to have a rule that's conservation-oriented around bull trout-brook trout interactions. So in those streams where there are potentials for negative interactions genetically with bull trout, we're encouraging harvest of brook trout at no limit. Number seven, allow retention of stray hatchery steelhead. So not necessarily related to where there are intentional steelhead stocking programs, but in streams where stray steelhead are encountered, allowing those to be harvested even if there isn't a listed steelhead fishery at the time. Number eight, adjust trout harvest regulations for lowland lake fisheries. In the past, we've had a number of rules where we limited the size and number of fish that anglers could harvest. This rule generally would read the statewide limit of five trout with no more than two greater than 14 inches. This rule was put in place a number of years back to try to control sorting by anglers. One of the things that we've done with the trout program in the past 5 years is increased the mean size at release of catchable trout, which has lessened the issue of sorting mostly in western Washington lakes where this occurred. So because we don't have as much sorting occurring at this time, we'd like to remove the 2 over 14 portion of that and simplify the trout rule in most lakes to just five fish. Any questions for Group A? Moving on to Group B, adopting rules as modified. Technical changes, somewhat similar to number three that we discussed. These are things that occur in the pamphlet or in the WAC where we needed to just make small tweaks. One that we have not brought to you, and it's new today, and this is why it's a modified rule, is Ebie Lake. Ebie Lake was in the last rule process where we would like to remove it from the pamphlet. We no longer manage that lake. It's surrounded by private property. And so we don't have public access. One of the issues was is that we removed everything from the WAC language except the two-pole language, which means we still have to put it in the pamphlet even though we would like not to. So the technical change would be to eliminate two poles so that Ebie Lake can be removed from the pamphlet. The second bullet there, remove duplication of two-pole language and multiple WACs. Same issue is we don't need multiple places to have it listed in two-pole language. Number two, clarify fly fishing definition. There was a number of public comments about our encouragement of the use of lead, which was not our intent. We were only trying to allow that. So to clarify that there are other things that could be used to weight flies, we will change the word lead to the word metal, which then would include any types of tinsel and beads and the number of things that fly anglers use. There's also some additional materials listed in the new clarification of fly that you can find in your packet. Number four, allow harvest of grass carp. In the past, the two lakes that we had generally talked to the commission about for this rule were Campbell and Lone Lakes. We heard a number of folks from the public that would prefer that we also included Duck Lake, so that's been added to the packet of lakes where harvest of grass carp would be allowed. Number 9, provide additional year-round fishing opportunity. Initially, this was a list of 10 lakes that we came to the commission to propose. Most of those lakes have been well received by the public as opportunities to increase year-round fishing. One lake that generated a large amount of public input was Summit Lake in Region 6. We would not propose to go to year-round for that lake, but the other 9 that are in that list, we would ask that the commission consider those for year-round fisheries. Number 11, modify trout fishing opportunity in select Washington streams. The biggest change that you'll see in this rule is that we would not only like to modify the existing rules that we proposed to begin with, but there was also a request by the public that we consider a cutthroat trout fishery in the North Nema River, and so that's the reason why it's modified, and that language will be added to what we're asking you to consider. Number 12, increase selective gear fishing opportunity. Initially, this was a list of 6 lakes that were generated by public input and department input to consider for selective gear fishing opportunities in Western Washington. We narrowed that list of 6 lakes down that were capable of supporting selective gear fisheries to 2 that we think are very viable candidates in the Puget Sound region to provide for selective gear fishery. So instead of the 6 that we proposed initially, we would ask you to approve Chain and Martha Warm Beach, which are both in this greater Seattle area and are very well supported by both fly and selective gear anglers as viable options for this type of fishery. Number 13, require mandatory hatchery steelhead retention. This doesn't look really substantially different from what we've brought to you the first 2 times, other than we would like to add the Dungeness River to the streams that we would propose to be considered for mandatory retention and remove the Green River. Any questions on Group B? With that, I'll move to Group C. We're removing the Green River because the abundance of hatchery steelhead is very low because of some of our management activities. We would prefer not to encourage all harvest to ensure that we get enough for broodstock back in the future. If in the case that we get those programs on their feet and they're healthy, we would likely come back to the commission and talk about mandatory retention at that time. We don't have enough fish to play that game yet, I guess, is the simple answer. Group C, do not adopt. Number 10, increase trout fishing opportunity in streams. When we did this, it was a little bit inconsistent with other streams that we managed in Puget Sound, and what we heard from public comment is that they would prefer that we stay consistent in terms of harvest and opportunity in streams for resident trout species in Puget Sound. And so taking their input, we prefer to just remove this as a rule proposal at this time. So I would go to questions for Group C and otherwise move forward to other staff.
That might be a little too loud. Number 14 is to, these are the regional specific proposals, to increase fishing opportunity in Lake Washington, to essentially expand some of the area that's currently closed to fishing near the locks to allow fishing there. Number 15 is Pass Lake, which is currently a no two-pole fly fishing lake, to allow two-pole opportunities in that lake. Number 16 is Rattlesnake Lake. It's currently a catch and release lake, and we're proposing to allow some trout harvest in that water. Number 17 is Steve.
Number 17, Clear Lake. We have abundant kokanee in that system. We'd like to increase the kokanee limit and standardize with other kokanee lakes. Number 18, Collins and Stump Lake, similar to Evie Lake that Chris mentioned earlier. We don't have public access to these lakes, so we're proposing to remove them from our management and just let them be under statewide rules.
Number 19 and Baker Lake had size limits that applied to kokanee and trout as well, and we're proposing to separate those to increase some opportunities to eliminate the minimum size on trout, as is consistent with other lakes, and to decrease the kokanee size limit to protect or to have a kokanee minimum size limit to protect sockeye smolts. Oh, sorry, Blackman's like, that's me. Sorry. Steve, you're looking at me like, what's going on? In Blackman's Lake, to increase the trout limit, which was three, to no more than two over 15 inches. To five, increase the limit from three to five, but no more than two over 15 inches. Number 21, Ross Lake, to adjust the trout fishing rules. In Ross Lake, we want to liberalize the rules on brook trout, so that the earlier proposal was for lakes and for streams and rivers, and so this one is on a specific lake, and also to increase the size limit of rainbow trout to provide some additional protections and make the permanent rules in line with those of our international partners. Number 23, Thornton Lake and Thornton Creek. We're proposing to remove the limit on West Slope Cutthroat. Number 26, Sammamish Lake, to remove the hook restrictions that were in place to provide some additional protections for the kokanee there.
Number 27, Alder Reservoir tributaries in the Upper Nisqually River. Essentially, we did not have all of the tributaries to the reservoir identified in the WAC, so we're specifically identifying that all those tributaries are opening and simplifying the WAC language for consistency.
Number 28, to adjust the fishing rules on some of the rivers and creeks in Region 4. These were areas where we had some steelhead opportunity for hatchery fish in the early February timeframe, and the time has passed where we can reasonably expect hatchery fish to show up there. So we're reducing the seasons for protections. 29 is Whatcom Creek. There was a section of Whatcom Creek, if you recall, back when there was an explosion, like a gas line explosion. It was quite a number of years ago. And that creek has now recovered, and so we are proposing to open that section and to remove the anti-snagging rules up in the juvenile waters where they're not needed.
Number 30, McAllister Creek. We have both barbless hooks required and selective gear rules. Essentially, what we're doing is removing the barbless hook and just going with selective gear on this one. Number 31, McLean Creek. We've noted a low abundance of cutthroat spawning in this system, so we'd like to go to catch and release to provide a little additional protection for those cutthroat spawners.
Number 33 is New Halem Creek. We're proposing to adjust the fishing rules there to bring them in line with our stream strategy for protection of wild steelhead. Number 34 is a closure on the North Fork Nooksack River, which is closing a portion of the stream where there's some confusion as to where the mouth of the Kendall Creek is.
Maybe if I could add a bit on number 34. We have received a bit of public comment on this proposal. We think this is an important proposal to go forward with. We would like, though, to continue to monitor this rule, and if there are adjustments that need to be made, we'd be continuing to monitor that and bring that back to you. But at this point, we think this is a good proposal to bring forward to provide some additional protection.
Thank you, Craig. So I guess what I'm further interpretation on number 34 is that this is you will be monitoring this pretty closely, right, to see how it evolves in case we have to. The recommendation then would be to reverse it or go back or.
Yes, at this time, staff is recommending that the commission adopt this rule as presented, but we will continue to monitor it. We do know that there's folks that have provided some public comment on this, and we want to make sure that we're providing the conservation that's needed for those fish that are returning back to this system. We've had to implement a similar type rule by emergency rule 3 of the last 4 years, and so we would continue to monitor it, and we'd bring something back to you if we thought there was a better approach.
Okay, thank you, Craig. Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Craig, I think it might be helpful for the audience and perhaps for the record that you talk a little bit about the concern as it's the 400-foot setback as it relates to the weir and also the moving channel event that causes enforcement issues. Maybe just talk a little bit about that for everyone that wasn't at the meeting last night.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Carpenter. So on the Kendall Creek, we have a hatchery, and there's a weir in the at the lower end of that hatchery facility. And the fish tend to stack up below the weir. And what happens is that's close to the mouth of Kendall Creek, which empties into the North Nooksack River. And the area there is a low elevation. It's a braided channel on the North Nooksack. And so what happens is the mouth of Kendall Creek meanders in this 1,500-foot section of stream. And so at some times of the season, the mouth of the Kendall Creek can be very close to where the hatchery weir is, and then that can meander away. And so it's causing difficulty for the public to understand where it's legal for them to fish and where it's not, given that Kendall Creek is closed. And so by establishing a boundary from the weir across the North Nooksack down 1,500 feet, that'll establish a permanent boundary that the public should be able to see. We'll mark that, and it should address the confusion that we're seeing with where folks can fish in this area.
I assume you put some type of post or something in the ground that's pretty visible to people?
Yes. Typically, it's a monument marker that's placed or assigned.
Thank you very much.
Okay, number 35 is the Skagit River adjusting the fishing rules. This is in the lower Skagit River to align game fish and trout seasons.
Number 36, Minner Creek is closing the trout season just prior to Chinook salmon entering into the stream and heading to the hatchery. Have some nefarious activity in there under the guise of trout fishing, trying to leave those Chinook salmon alone.
Number 37 in the Suquamish, there's a short time frame there where we had some conflicting rules where there's either catch and keep or catch and release, both in effect. And so what this is doing is taking that small time frame and turning it into catch and keep. This is the Friday before Memorial Day to the first Saturday in June. Number 38. The Skagit River, this is a section of the Skagit River to convert to catch and release fishing on trout to provide protections for some of the local trout populations and also wild steelhead. Number 39, the Stillaguamish River, installing a night closure in the lower portion to help enforcement. And number 40, the Tolt River, adjust the fishing rules to be in line with our stream strategy for protection of steelhead populations.
Number 41, Kennedy Creek, again trying to address declining cutthroat numbers, would go to trout catch and release and add selective gear rules. Similar regulation, Chambers Creek, this is add selective gear rule and also going to catch and release, protecting resident trout in that area.
Oh, did he do 42 already? 43 is Snohomish River to back when sturgeon fishing changed from catch and keep to year-round catch and release. This is a section of the river where we had intended to maintain catch and release year-round, and so we're just catching up to that, making sure that's in the permanent rules. Are there any questions for the Group A?
I'm still kind of back at Rule 34, because that one's, I don't think we, as a full commission, paid that much attention as we were going through this process, so it's now been brought to our attention. This is a big issue. You said you would monitor. What about the compromise idea that was suggested by those who are unhappy with the idea of protecting? They see what we would do as protecting hatchery fish when that's not our principle. So they proposed a compromise. I don't remember exactly what it was, but can you respond to that? Because I thought it was a good idea.
Thank you, Commissioner Wecker. So my understanding, there was a couple of ideas that were brought forth. One was to limit the time that the this closure was in place. And the other was to consider reducing the geographic area of the closure. With respect to the timing of a closure, one of the things we were thinking about is we have a bit of confusion about what the regulations are in this area currently, and changing those boundaries throughout the year seemed like it was creating some complication in the regulations that we weren't sure was necessarily a benefit for this area. Secondly, with respect to the geographic area, the 1,500-foot boundary was identified to encompass the area that we see the mouth of Kendall Creek meandering. And so our challenge was, if we established a smaller geographic boundary and then the mouth of Kendall Creek meanders lower than that, then we were afraid we were going to start to continue to have confusion about where fishing was allowed. And so the design was to try to encompass this meander of the mouth of the river and then to provide some consistency of where these closures were throughout the year to try to continue to reduce confusion in the regulation.
So is this going to essentially remove a significant portion of the opportunity? Because from what I understand, these are important segments of the river where a lot of people catch fish. So is that what we're giving up here? I hope there's enough benefits to justify it.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I, thinking about our discussion last night and sleeping on it and hearing many of their my colleagues on the commission's concern about this, I think we got to find a compromise here. I just think that's too big of a bite, and I just think the blowback isn't warranted. I don't really see this as a resource. I don't think you really see it as a resource problem. I mean, primarily we're dealing with hatchery fish. So can we come up with something middle of the road that's not quite as draconian?
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner Carpenter. So, yes, we can come up, I think, with alternatives. We'd probably like to have staff have a little bit of time to try to draft some language on this particular rule. So I think we could do something like that. With respect to this area relative to hatchery fish and wild fish, Annette, could you describe briefly what we would see in that area?
Sure. Kendall Creek is, so in terms of the time frame, Kendall Creek is one of those steelhead programs that has had problems in the past getting its brood stock. So we've actually had to close large portions, much larger than this section, of the Nooksack River just to get some assurances that we'll be able to continue the program. In fact, there's an e-reg in place right now to that effect. So in terms of the this area where these fish stage, it could be an important area to the closure. It could help us in the future not have to do such a broad closure to protect to try to protect broodstock efforts. So that's one piece. So that those are the hatchery piece that people are probably thinking. You know, it's not a conservation concern. Certainly, it's more of a broodstock concern. There are also Chinook, and these are hatchery Chinook, but they are part of a recovery program where that program at Kendall is used to colonize the North Fork Nooksack with fish, and we've been working on that for a number of years. It's one of the key populations for recovery, so those are not intended for harvest at this point.
Are those spring Chinook or summer falls?
Those are spring Chinook.
The steelhead that you mentioned that you have a shortfall for broodstock, are those harvest numbers being applied to the recreational catch? Is that what you're suggesting, or is it something else?
In terms of the numbers, the recreational fishery on average catches about five times the number of steelhead that the tribal counterparts do, if that's what you mean. But we take the biggest bite out of that resource. So we've generally taken the initiative to initiate the closures for broodstock in those discussions.
So I guess where we are now on Rule 34 is a pause to go back to Stanford to look at the compromise set of criteria.
So, Chairman Smith, maybe what a couple of scenarios we could try to work some language today, or the commission could amend the proposal to a do not adopt, and then we could bring a look at this in more depth and bring something back to the commission at a later date, which might be appropriate.
Would that be more beneficial for staff planning? And
I think that might give staff an opportunity to work with the constituents and come up with the best mix of protection and opportunity.
I'd like that.
Yeah, I think that this is important because there's so little opportunity for steelhead fishing in Puget Sound that giving up even a small portion that people care about is a weighty decision. And I'd really appreciate it, especially it gives you the opportunity to work with some of the stakeholders, get them on board.
Thank you, Commissioner Wecker. When we move into the adoption portion, we can walk through and make sure that I can show you where that is in the process.
Commissioner Carpenter raised another point that, and I'm somewhat familiar with the area, that that's a great area for ADA accessibility too, isn't it? So that's something that in the Nooksack may not be as prevalent as that. So.
Thank you.
So on to Group B. Number 22 is Texas Ponds. Initially, the intent was to increase harvest pressure on brook trout, but the proposal included game fish, and this modification would just put that focus back on unlimited harvest of brook trout.
Number 24, Black Lake Ditch. The proposal was to open in the wintertime for warm water angling under a catch and release scenario. What we noted is that during the rest of the year, we have selective gear rules in place to protect trout and other salmonids. So our suggested modification, is to retain the selective gear rules throughout the year as it's open for fishing.
Number 32 is Chaplain Creek. The original proposal closed a section of water to protect some source water for the city of Everett, but it also included some waters that were not affected or would not affect those source waters. And so this proposal is, this modification would reopen that one section to angling. Are there questions for Group B? And then Group C, the last, is number 25, Mill Pond. This was a proposal. This is a juvenile-only water and the proposal, but it has some adult fishing allowed on the free fishing weekend. And this proposal was to create juvenile water all year long. We're recommending not to adopt it because there's an important seniors derby that occurs on that free fishing weekend run through the Auburn Parks Department. The questions for Group C?
Moving on to the coast. Group A, adopt as modified, adopt as proposed. Number 44 is to increase fishing opportunities for anglers with lower extremity disabilities. This rule is specific to the Forks Creek Hatchery ADA site. It simply brings our rules in what defines a disability in line with the current WACs that are out there defining that. Number 45 is to adopt selective gear rules for the Nacelle River for the late portion of the steelhead season, primarily focused on wild steelhead catch and release. We had selective gear rules there in the past, and as we adopted the statewide stream strategy, we lost those. That was an inadvertent error on our part, so we're simply reinstating those. Questions on either of those? Okay, moving into the meteor issues. Steelhead on the North Coast systems. If I could just briefly remind the commission that knowing that these steelhead regulations were going to be a popular item for this rulemaking cycle, the department initiated an additional advisor group to help us try to form more comprehensive proposals or proposed set of rules rather than maybe a mishmash or hodgepodge of rules that came from the public. We engaged that group beginning in July and worked pretty hard with them through about mid-September to come up with a package of rules that would hopefully provide this more comprehensive systematic proposal. So number 46, the proposal originally received from the public was to adopt no fishing from floating device rules on many of the North Coast streams. A reminder, the North Coast streams are the Quileute system, Solduck, Bobashiel, Kalawa, Dickey, the Queet system, the Ho system, and the Quinault. Our proposed modification from the various stretches and times proposed by the public, working through this North Coast Advisory Group, is twofold. One is to adopt for all of these systems no fishing from a floating device equipped with an internal combustion motor. Jet boats are not real popular up in that part of the world, and this is maybe just getting ahead of potential issues down the road as steelhead is restricted in other places, steelhead fishing. The second piece there is rather than a broad-based approach to no fishing from a floating device, this would be a drift boat, raft, etc., would be to adopt that only on the Ho River from Morgan's Crossing upstream to the Olympic National Park boundary. Certainly one of the more contentious issues that the advisory group dealt with, but this is kind of the compromise that we ended up with. Number 47, we had a significant number of proposals for adding selective gear rules to a number of places on the North Coast. What our advisory group recommended instead was to maybe simplify that approach. There's a lot of baggage associated with selective gear rules. Their proposal was just simply say one barbless hook is all that anglers could use, and that could be a single point or treble point hook. And secondly, bait only during specified times when salmon and steelhead, hatchery steelhead are available, and only in those areas where those fish are available for harvest. So here's a table showing when those times and places would be. Want to make sure everybody understands that this is a reduction in the amount of time and area that bait would be allowed on these systems. But again, the premise was if we're fishing for fall salmon, which are abundant, or hatchery steelhead, that bait would be allowed during those times.
Steve, The sole duck is now wild gene bank, so how much hatchery, this is a question that I've posed to myself, will we have many hatchery fish in the sole duck in coming years? Will they just be strays?
They would primarily be strays coming from other systems.
Okay.
So
that suggests that maybe some point in time in the future, if there really aren't very many hatchery strays, we would rethink?
I think that would be consistent with what the intent of the regulation is. So if we start noting a significant decline in hatchery fish being caught in the sole duck, it would be in our interest to revisit that question for that system.
Yeah, because there is, during that time, an early wild steelhead component, perhaps?
Yeah. Yes, there are in all
someday.
The systems. So.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Then going back to number 48 is prohibit wild steelhead harvest. Associated with the proposals were catch and release for all wild trout in addition. What our proposed modification is simply that it would be release all wild rainbow trout and still allow opportunity for cutthroat trout fishing in these systems, which are abundant and healthy. Further questions?
Commissioner Keeney.
Thank you. I was looking back at some notes from the North Coast Steelhead Advisory Group requiring the release of all wild steelhead and rainbow trout. That sounds, right in line. They also had a concern that this increase in spawning escapement that you're looking for would only be realized if the co-managers agree to manage their fisheries to target no more than 50% of the harvestable wild steelhead. I'm just curious, and maybe it's too early, but are there current processes or future strategies to look at that?
Yes, there are strategies to look at that. I can let you know that the proposal that we currently have on the table from the Ho Tribe for 2015-16 does not get us where we want to be, so we are going to be engaging in all of our options to try to bring them to where we'd like to see them shortly. That's front and center on one of my to-do lists here for this month. I actually have a discussion with them this afternoon to see if we've made any headway, but I'm not optimistic. But yes, we're going to have to engage all of our collective efforts and knowledge and our council to help us figure out how to get to that goal of the co-managers helping us there. Group C, do not adopt. Just one in this one was number 49. This was also a proposal that came from the public, which was to require a special tag for retaining wild steelhead. This would require us to have legislation if we charge for this tag, and at this point we're recommending that we do not modify or do not adopt that one. Excuse me.
Dave Lowry.
And last but not least, to the Lower Columbia Warm Water Proposal. Just to jog your memories, we've done this from the Oregon border upstream and both the Snake River and Columbia. And to be consistent with removing bag limits on walleye, channel catfish, and bass in that portion of the Columbia and tributaries, we would like to move this from the Oregon border to the mouth of the Columbia River. This has already been done in Oregon, and our desire to be consistent with Oregon regulations would be to ask the commission to address that here in Washington as well. I'll leave it to questions.
So we've come to the point in the presentation where we'd ask for a main motion and then move into any amendments that the commission may have.
Commissioner Walker?
I would suggest we take a break to allow you to have some time to deal with that Rule 34 change and also give us a chance for a break before we go through the motion. This is going to be complicated, it looks to me.
That's fine. We're ahead of schedule, so. Yeah.
I thought we were going to want to go a little bit before that and then ask staff to try to.
No, I mean, well, they have to figure out the process for us to defer. It's got to be part of the motion.
Just the language.
We can work. We'll work up some language for a commissioner to move to amend the main motion.
Okay. So why don't we take 15 minutes? Will that give you enough time?
Yes. Thank you.
So we will reconvene at 10:15. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So again, what we'll do is staff will ask the commission for the main motion. That will then put all of the regulations on the table for adoption. We'll walk through each of the three groups to ask for any amendments that commissioners would have, and then ask for adoption of the main motion as amended.
Thank you. Do we have a motion then? Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Walker.
Unless anyone else wants to do the honors of reading all of them, I'm willing to. Okay, I move to adopt permanent amendments to WAC 220-55-220, two-pole endorsement, WAC 220-56-210, fly fishing, WAC 220-56-282, sturgeon areas, seasons, limits, and unlawful acts, WAC 220-56-510, game fish possession limits and size limits, WAC 220-310-175, freshwater exceptions to statewide rules, general rules, WAC 220-310-180, freshwater exceptions to statewide rules, COAST, WAC 223-10-185, freshwater exceptions to state rules, Southwest, WAC 223-10-190, freshwater exceptions to statewide rules, Puget Sound, WAC 223-10-195, freshwater exceptions to state rules, Eastside, WAC 223-10-200, freshwater exceptions to statewide rules, Columbia River, as presented by staff.
Thank you. And so, Councillor Freymeyer, just a point of clarification. We go through a second on that before we go to the amendment?
Yes.
Right. Okay. So we do have a, do we have a second on the amendment, on the proposal? Okay. Commissioner Holzmiller seconds. Any further discussion?
No. No. We call for an amendment?
No, we call for an amendment. Right.
Mr. Chair, I move the commission not adopt staff proposal number 34, North Fork, Nooksack River, Whatcom County.
We have a second on the amendment?
I second.
Okay. Second. Any discussion on the amendment? Hearing none. All of those in favor of the amendment as stated, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same side. Amendment carries. Now we go back to the...
Are there any other amendments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd ask if the commission had any other amendments to Group A.
That was on the list.
Just kidding there.
Just kidding. We're following the order. Any other amendments? Okay, seeing none. Then we will vote on the main motion. The main motion's been made and seconded. No further discussion. All those in favor of the main motion signify by saying yes.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Craig, et al.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioners.
And your staff for a lot of work.
Yep.
Appreciate the detail.
Thank you.
That had to do with the exception for the proposed expansion of the season at Summit Lake. And it's very clear that the commission gets it. We understand the concern of the people who live around Summit Lake with regard to water quality, with regard to intrusion, et cetera, et cetera. My concern is, and this is simply a statement, my concern is that the lake waters belong to the people of the state of Washington, and it was shown to be that in the case of Tohoya Lake, where similar concerns were expressed by the people in that area. And my concern is, of course, that this opens the door to a potential flood of concern by people in other lakes. And again, the waters of these lakes belong to the people of the state of Washington, and that is my concern. I think we have to work very hard and diligently to avoid that kind of activity.
Thank you. Commissioner Walker.
Yeah, and maybe I should have made some comments before we voted, but I did want to comment on what we just did in relation to North Olympic Peninsula Steelhead, a subject dear to my heart. I've been a fisher since my late adulthood, I would say. The first fish I fished for in my life was steelhead on the Olympic Peninsula. So I started with the premier game fish in the country, I think, very near and dear to my heart. And one of the things that I think came out of the very excellent testimony we heard at our last meeting was that there is a debate over the status and trends of wild steelhead populations on the Olympic Peninsula. We've heard since our meeting that outside experts dispute our view, as stated by staff at the last meeting, that those stocks on the North Olympic Peninsula, our view, our staff consider those stocks stable and not in long-term decline. We heard from experts who have lots of experience and credentials that those stocks are in long-term decline, To me, that is a very, very important point of conflict, point of disagreement, which I think we need to do some more science to resolve, because those are our last remaining healthy runs of steelhead, wild steelhead in the state. And I, for one, do not want to be party to running them into the ground, as we've seen so many steelhead runs treated in the past. So I want us all to take a responsible position, take the high road now, and really focus some quality attention on those last remaining healthy wild steelhead runs. Do the science. I would propose we do the science necessary, or have the debate we need to have over what is the status of those stocks. Are they really in long-term decline? I would like to know. I also think there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. This discussion over how to reduce the impact on North Olympic Peninsula stocks is directly related to the pressure being displaced from Puget Sound. So we really need to open up opportunity in Puget Sound to relieve the pressure on the Olympic Peninsula. That's why I think we still have a lot of unresolved work to do on steelhead. These are complicated. We've got the HGMPs, the Skagit catch and release fishery issues to look at. We've got co-management issues. We've got enforcement issues. We've got a lot of work still to be done on steelhead. So, thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner. Yes, Commissioner Holtz-Miller.
While we're making comments, and I've been getting this sense for about the last year or so, and then after having a chance to talk with Chris, I agree. I want to echo what you're saying about what we can do to displace some of the fishing pressure here and get some opportunities on the Skagit. Nothing else. The guy with the sign about Occupy Skagit, just throw him a bone. But no, I would really like to see that, and we have to look at some of those. And if we have to think out of the box a little bit. I know this is going to sound bizarre when it comes to fishing, but if we do some limited entry drawings and stuff like that, because, I mean, as a hunter, we've lived with that forever. But just to try and get some of these opportunities where we can, and if we have to work to limit the impact, but let's think outside and try and do some of these fun things. And I think, there again, with the staff we've got, they have all the capabilities. We've got excellent staff that we're working with. So I feel very optimistic that we can do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any other further thoughts? Commissioner Grable.
I agree with Commissioner Wecker. We have been exposed to some very good information on steelhead in recent months. And I think that some of the actions taken today are in response to that. And I also, in our fish committee meeting last night, I thank Steve for his time and in the formation of and the meetings with the advisory committee on the North Coast streams. Those were all very positive steps, and I'm encouraged by the amount of information we're receiving. And today we're about to adopt some rules that will help in that effort. And so it's an ongoing process, but some of these things, like you mentioned, Jay, with the Skagit River, believe me, you know, we're trying to deal with that as best we can and to move forward at the appropriate path with conservation based on science. And I'm very pleased with the progress.
Mr. Burke?
Yeah, I do have a question, Steve. Are we going to continue this North Coast Advisory Group process to deal with some of the potential limited access system for guides or whatever we want to look at?
Yes.
Yes.
You may recall we had a number of issues that still needed to be resolved, including what was the proper escapement goal and thinking about those things. So, yes, we are actually in the process of trying to schedule our next meeting. Make no mistake, staff is buried trying to get through all of this, and North of Falcon is just around the corner. So staff are working their butts off trying to find a way to make all of this happen.
Yeah.
Mr. Carpenter.
Last night at the Fish Committee, as we were adjourning, I had a sidebar discussion with Jim Scott. And I don't know, Director, is there any other staff here at the meeting today that was in the meeting with the Skagit tribes yesterday? You were there? Would you, I'm not going to quote Jim, but Jim made it sound like the meeting went quite well in reaching agreement on some Skagit issues related to either, well, I'll let you tell me what they said.
Yes, the it was a very good meeting. We talked about a fishery management plan that would allow some directed harvest, which would means our catch and release opportunity. We got to the point where we identified, okay, there's three methods we want to move forward with, and just trying to get them now into alignment in terms of doing the work necessary to convince the federal government that our plan would meet their conservation objectives. And we had a good discussion about wild stock gene banks and an effort that's now underway to look at the benefits and risks of an integrated hatchery steelhead program.
Could you, Annette, elaborate at all on a timeline that you might have taken away from that meeting?
Yeah, the timeline for the harvest plan, we talked about trying to get something submitted to NOAA by the end of the year. So that's pretty quick here, and Christmas is coming, so you might interpret that to be January, realistically. And the work on the integrated steelhead program is scheduled to take place over the next 9 to 12 months to get that work completed.
So can the public expect to see a catch and release fishery in the spring of 2016?
So thank you for leading me there. Once the plan is submitted, NOAA has let us know that they need at least a year, 9 months to a year, to do their evaluation. And
how many years have we been told that?
It always comes with a caveat of that if something else, like a lawsuit, gets in their way, that they can't make any promises. So the earliest we'd be really looking at would be 2017.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments? Thanks again, all of you. I think you heard the concerns of the commission on the steelhead issue, and I think we're on the same page on all of that. We look forward to the progress continuing along the science that's critical to all of that. But thank you again.
Thank you.